Good morning. It is the second Sunday in October, a time of year when summer has definitely passed and autumn is here. Autumn used to be marked by colder nights and leaves falling off trees. Now we can add, the nights are not so cool. Smoke is in the air with ash falling on everything outdoors. Have you noticed we seem to be getting ready for something? It could be winter, could be election day, could be travel plans around holidays happening or not happening, could be Rohatsu on December 8th, could be just lunch later today. Today's talk will touch on being ready for something to happen without leaving this very moment. Let's look at two koans that may help support us in our experience of this inescapable fact. We are still always right here, in the midst of everything going on, with nothing hidden and everything present. All things are always right here. Staying in this moment, really being here without the blind urgency to move on, is a gift the Zen practice delivers to us. Koans are experts at stripping away layers of how we ordinarily think and behave. How do they do this? I don't know. How does a koan help us, support us, bring us out and leave us empty and yet still involved in the world of choice and opinions? I don't know. The koan and the Zen practice that accompanies koan work has an unknowable moment of truth. So does a breath practice. So does mindfulness practice. And so does shikantaza practice. All four of these practices start the wheel turning away from our ordinary responses. Zen practice is not a casual practice. It takes physical and emotional commitment to have a seated zazen practice. It takes mental organization to have a mindfulness practice. And it takes a certain giving up of what else could I be doing besides listening to this talk or just sitting here watching a wall go nowhere. Can we give up our wanting this moment to be more than just what it is? Or is our hate for the other side of whatever is inside of us so strong, so blinding, that we are doomed to be who we are as we are? I don't know. But right now, notice where your hands are. Notice if they are resting on your lap. Notice if they are tense or curled or tight or simply relaxed. Notice if you don't notice them. Notice is not a command. Notice is not telling your hands what to do. Notice is not having a judgment on what they are doing or not doing. Notice is notice. Just as master is master. And Buddha is Buddha. Awake is awake. And mu is mu. One is one, simply one. Case 12 in the Wuman Quan, Zuigan calls master. The priest Zuigan called master to himself every day. And every day answered himself, yes. Then he would say, be aware. And reply, yes. And say, don't be deceived by others. No, no. The priest Zuigan called master to himself every day, and every day answered himself, yes. Then he would say, be aware. And reply, yes. And say, don't be deceived by others. No, no. It's the end of the case. At first look, this sounds like a wonderful daily practice. Talk to yourself. Tell yourself to wake up. Be alert in all that you do. Yes, yes. And don't be a fool. Don't be fooled by other people's opinion. Don't be fooled by what you hear that you don't agree with. The list could go on and on of what fools us. Friendships, betrayals, illusions, and values that change with our age. At first look, calling to oneself to wake up seems to be a useful mindfulness practice, and it may be. Yet we learn early on, koans are not the same as mindfulness trainings. Koans are the direct conveying of the mind of the realized Zen master. Koans are the direct and clear expression of what the Buddha realized when he looked at the morning star and declared, I, together with all beings, am simultaneously enlightened. Zuigan calls out, Master. And that's enough to call out this one word, Master. Who is the Master? Who is he calling to? Bring, bring, bring. Morning alarm at 4:30 a.m. Zuigan calls out, just move. Just one. And he responds, yes. Yes, right here. Bring, bring, bring. Zuigan goes on to say, be aware. Be aware. Dig underneath this be aware, and there's something redundant. All is aware. All is awake. Zuigan continues, don't be deceived by others. And responds, no, no. Zuigan helps us to this bitter end. Don't be deceived by others. Don't be deceived by a single thing outside this single moment, having an enduring self. Venus, the morning star, seen by the Buddha, not as a separate entity from anything, not from the mountain it rises over, not from the sky it sits in, not from the early coo coo of the first bird, and not from the autumn chill in the dawn light. I and all beings in this moment, in this virtual cyber zendo of the universe, sit here alone, as one, as mu, as ku, ku. All koan cases have commentaries, at least in the Mumonkan. In this commentary, Wuman says, old Zuigan, he buys himself and sells himself. He brings forth lots of angel faces and demon masks and plays with them. One kind calls and one kind answers. One kind is aware and one kind will not be deceived by others. If you cling to this understanding, you are in trouble. And if you try to imitate Zuigan, your discernment is altogether that of a fox. In Wuman's commentary, he mentions angel faces and demon masks. To look at that for just a short bit right now. Robert Aiken has an interesting comment on the word demon. It caught my attention when I was looking for something else. What is a demon anyway? A real spirit of the underground? Robert Aiken says, he was writing about the Eightfold Buddhist Path, right view, right thought, right speech, right conduct, right livelihood, right lifestyle, right recollection, and right zazen. And we're left to find out what is meant by this word right. And here's what he says. Right refers to the right step taken with clear awareness of how all things pass quickly away and how all things are innately in harmony. And he goes on to say, without this practice, you are dissipating yourself, pursuing bright lights and confetti. And the adult who behaves this way is a danger to the world and is a demon. So strong caution to stay on a genuine path with help, with support. Because demon masks, as well as our angel masks, we create them from our own misperceptions of what is really true. What is the true nature of this existence? We can find out before we die. We can find out how to take down our masks and be in step with what Aiken also calls eventuality. The moment when we are dropped. Koans also have a verse that ends their case. In this case, the verse written is, students of the way do not know the truth. They only know their own consciousness up to now. This is the source of endless birth and death. The fool calls it the original self. To know our consciousness up to this very moment, that's all of us, students of the way. But after this, then who is calling? Am I talking right now without moving my lips? Students of the way, meaning each one of us, only know their mask up to the moment the mask is dropped. What a sublime gift, Mu, the breath, and our one, and our two, and our three, have left for us to dismantle our mask. But not Buddha, not Zuigan, whatever say, ha, this is it. This is the original self. True and genuine practice cannot stop itself. Sit, stand, lie. Get up. Mask or no mask, don't be deceived. Keep the path to your reed gate clear. Then we are in step with the ongoing genuine practice. What is so close to us is this one word, me. And what is the opposite of me? Perhaps Mu, but yet, what are we to do about me? Because I just don't seem to go away. I would like to end this talk with a brief look into the koan that asked this very question, because it is a tough question. What am I going to do about me? And the answers may be anywhere from 0 to 10,000. I don't know. Case 40 in the koan collection called Entangling Vines. A scholar writes a treatise denying the existence of spirits. A scholar once wrote a treatise denying the existence of spirits. The moment he finished and laid down his brush, a spirit appeared before him, saluted him, and then demanded, "So, scholar, what are you going to do about me?" Wuzu commented, "If I had seen the demon, I would have put my hands in front of my mouth like the beak of a dove and cried, coo, coo." Nainong said, "Though the scholar knew there are no spirits, he didn't know why there are none. And though Wuzu knew why there are no spirits, he couldn't remove the traces and erase the tracks. I would have looked him in the eye and shouted, Yan! And even if the spirit was great, I would have cleaved his head into 7 pieces like the branch of the Arjaka tree. Tell me then, what is this one word, Yan? Hey, you said I don't exist. Me." This is the end of that case. So when a spirit appears, what now? One Zen master said, "Ku, ku." Another said, "Yan." Another said, "Ni." What do you say? If you say Mu, be sure you are not imitating the clever fox. Our skull splits into 7 pieces of nonsense after a short while. And yet koans cannot be investigated from this level. Koans will blow this skull into 7 pieces and leave us empty of who we are up to this moment. How do we respond to this question? What are you going to do about me? Well, me can't be erased, but it can be dropped. and me is hungry in the morning and tired at night. And me leaves many traces up till now. When now takes over, me gets up, walks, and boils water for tea. And when the bow dove cries, coo, coo, me hears it without ears. Eventually, Buddhas and ancestors, spirits and arhats, bodhisattvas, ghosts and guests, and even the self itself are one great supreme mind. This is the support and help we have been receiving since even before the Buddha's awakening. Hard to fathom? Good. Hard to grasp all this? Perhaps even better. With all beings, we realize all things pass quickly away, all things innately in harmony. With all beings, we do bow together and realize the way.